Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the SRF Limited Q4 FY20 earnings con call organized by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Cirumalla. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Yashasvi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Q4 and FY20 results conference call. We thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us Mr. Rahul Jain, President and Chief Financial Officer, SRF Limited. I would like to invite Ms. Nitika Dhawan, Head of Corporate Communications at SRF, to initiate the proceedings of SRF's con call. Over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's quarter four and financial year 20 earnings conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rahul Jain, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Jain to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us today on SRF's Q4 and full year FY20 earnings call. I hope you, your team, and loved ones are safe and doing well. I will begin the call with briefly addressing the impact of COVID-19 outbreak on our businesses. Then, I will broadly take you through the key operational highlights for the quarter and full year under review, following which we will open the forum to have a detailed Q&A session. The global economy and diverse industries across India and international markets have been witnessing an unprecedented health and economic crisis due to the outbreak of COVID-19 pandemic. In this environment, our primary focus was on ensuring business continuity, considering all relevant guidelines, as well as taking appropriate actions for the safety and well-being of our employees. In line with government directives, we have taken necessary steps to shut down our facilities and subsequently also begun operations at various sites, post receipt of requisite approvals from state and local authorities. Various measures have been put in place to ensure social distancing and safety of our employees, which is paramount and non-negotiable. Further, to ensure business continuity, appropriate liquidity measures have been effected so as to ensure smooth operations at all locations. I am pleased to share that we have registered a healthy performance for the quarter under review, despite the dynamic domestic and global macroeconomic challenges. In Q4 FY20, the consolidated revenues stood at 1,858 crore, with EBITDA at 395 crores. SRF posted an 8% jump in profit after tax at 194 crore for the March quarter as compared to the corresponding period last year. The company's PAT rose from 592 crore in FY19 to 916 crore in FY20, an increase of 55%. SRF's EBITDA increased in FY20 increased 12% from 1,349 crore to 1,507 crore. The numbers as stated above are excluding the impact of discontinued operations that arose during the year from the sale of our engineering plastics business and closure of operations of the technical textiles business at Thailand. Including the impact of these, for the year FY20, we registered a PAT of 1,019 crores as compared to 641 crores in FY19, an increase of 59%. Going on to our segmental performance now, in our chemicals business, which comprises of the fluorochemicals and the specialty chemicals business, I will start with the performance of the specialty chemicals business. This segment has been the focus and key growth driver for SRF. The business delivered robust performance on account of strong demand from the export market, substantiated by the team's efforts towards optimal utilization of our capacities. While we did not witness any demand-related issues owing to the pandemic, we did face some logistics issues which led to delay in certain shipments in the relevant quarter. As a result of COVID-19, the production facilities were completely closed for 15 days, and from mid-April 20, a calibrated startup has been effective. As discussed in the previous calls, a healthy demand from both agro and pharma segments is encouraging. With the right investment and with the right investments that the company has made in this business, we are ready to seize all opportunities that arise in the future. The expansion of capacities, which we announced in the past for new products, are on track. You would remember that we had given an outlook of 40 to 50% revenue growth in the specialty chemicals business at the beginning of last year. I am happy to share that our overall revenues for the business are in excess of 1650 crores, which is higher than what we had initially indicated. Given the management's confidence in the business and its long-term growth outlook indicated at the beginning of the fiscal, we have not only met the expectation, but exceeded on all performance parameters. Further, the business has also shown significant improvement in the margins as the operating leverage has played out. We continue to be optimistic that the new product opportunities will emerge in both agro and pharma segments and exhibit a positive trajectory for the business in the future. From that standpoint, our order book looks strong in the upcoming financial year as well. Overall, we continue to strive towards maintaining a healthy pipeline of new products and expect to report a healthy performance in FY21 as well. Moving on to our fluorochemical business now, performance of the business segment was subdued owing to prolonged and severe slowdown in the auto and white goods sector, leading to low demand of refrigerants. In addition, the price of key refrigerants remained weak during the quarter under review. Given the COVID-19 impact on various industries, we believe the demand for refrigerants from OEMs will remain low in the near term. However, we do anticipate that once the lockdown is lifted, the replacement market will witness significant increase and are gearing up for the upswing. Having said that, while there is a slowdown in the domestic market, we continue to focus on developing new international markets to further enhance exports. Additionally, we have been strengthening our presence in key export markets like the US, where we are now working closely with all major retailers. Regulatory actions in US on Chinese products may also lead to additional export demand, which we are fairly well positioned to cater to. We expect the recently commissioned HFC capacities to gradually ramp up volumes over the next few quarters. The operating leverage will play out so as to lead to expansion in overall margins as well. Further, the volumes of chloromethane also contributed positively to the overall revenues of the business. While prices of certain chloromethane products witnessed a fall, our ability to quickly switch between products helped us manage our position. We are now beginning to see a normalization of operations at our facilities in Bhiwadi and Dahej, post the lockdown announcement by the Government of India in March 2020. As one of the few fully backward integrated producers of refrigerants in the world, we are confident of the growth momentum deriving in the upcoming quarters. Coming to our packaging films business, we have delivered strong performance in both BOPET and BOPP segments owing to improved volume growth along with increased sales from our value-added products. In Q4, EBIT margins stood at 21.7% as we continue to improve efficiencies through savings from strategic sourcing and other cost initiatives having yielded positive results. All of our plants in India and internationally have been operating at optimal capacity. Even during lockdown, all the packaging film plants were operating at reasonable capacity. Our value-added product sales have also grown significantly. I must highlight here that as we go into FY21, operating margins are expected to moderate as new lines in domestic and international markets start affecting the demand-supply scenario. I am also pleased to share with you that in May 2020, we commissioned a BOPET film line of 40,000 tons per annum in Thailand for a cost of around US$51 million. This will help to boost our volume growth and revenues in the future as we ramp up production. With an existing strong customer base and wide distribution channels across Thailand and Southeast Asian countries, we are expanding the network in the Far East, Oceania region, and North and South America as well. The commissioning of our Hungary project has been delayed owing to severe spread of COVID-19 pandemic in Europe. We now anticipate to commission in Q2 of FY21. In line with our stated philosophy, we will continue to focus on efficient operations and further optimize the product mix towards increasing the share of value-added products. While COVID-19 lockdown has had an impact on domestic sales, our ability to leverage relationships internationally has kept us in good stead, ensuring higher export volumes. Moving on to our technical textiles business, the performance of tire cord fabric business has been adversely affected due to sluggish domestic demand. However, the business continued to focus on enhancing the operational excellence parameters at all its plant locations through cost saving and energy efficient methodology. We also saw an improvement in the upstream process capability parameters. While quarter on quarter, we saw stable margins as compared to corresponding period last year, the overall volumes were higher despite the COVID-19 impact. There was an impact of inventory valuation during Q4 FY20, and due to continued weakness in the price of lactam, some future impact is also expected. Additionally, we believe that while OEM demand may take slightly longer time to recover, replacement demand is likely to kick in towards the end of Q2 FY21. Therefore, H2 FY21 is likely to be much better performance than H1. In other businesses, in both the coated and laminated fabric business, we continue to record a stable performance with several new products added to the portfolio. In the laminated fabric division, however, margins were under pressure on account of ongoing oversupply situation. On to our balance sheet and the overall position. On the tax front, you would have noticed that the company's tax expense for the current quarter and for FY20 is significantly lower than FY19. I would like to point out that the company has recognized an amount of Rs 180 crore as income tax gain during the year. Essentially, these are on account of one-time deferred tax remeasurement exercise carried out in view of the income tax ordinance announced in September 2019, allowing companies to opt for a lower tax rate subject to renunciation of certain deductions. Applicable accounting guidelines require deferred tax assets and liabilities to be remeasured, which has resulted in a one-time deferred tax gain of Rs 136 crore. Further, consequent to sale of EP business in June 2019, a deferred tax gain of 43 crores was also recognized during the current financial year. Aggregating these up, the effective tax rate for FY20 on a standalone basis was about 25.4%. Details of the same are available in explanatory notes 8 and 9 of the results that we have published. Our net debt position as of 31st March 2020 was higher by about 300 crores when compared to the close of FY19. In spite of heavy capexes and related changes in our working capital position, we would also like to highlight that the impact of higher debt on the interest costs was negated by better rate negotiations and change in debt mix. This resulted in interest costs remaining at similar levels as that of last year. The volatility in exchange rates especially in the emerging markets towards the end of the year, was significant due to COVID-19 related uncertainties in the financial markets. This led to an exchange currency loss of Rs. 27 crores in Q4 FY20. The liquidity position of the company, however, remains strong, and recently the ratings of the company have been reaffirmed by CRISIL and India Ratings. During this ongoing pandemic situation, we experienced several operational difficulties owing to lockdown and interstate border controls. Since then, the supply chain scenario has been steadily restored with gradual lifting of restrictions and is expected to normalize soon. The company's export sales remained robust despite logistical challenges. As the lockdown continues to ease, we expect to see a rebound in demand for most of the domestic B2B revenues. I am also delighted to share with all of you that our chairman, Mr. Arun Bharatram, was conferred the EY Entrepreneur of the Year 2019 award in the manufacturing category. At SRF, we deeply care for our people and the communities in which we operate. We have an important role to play during the COVID-19 crisis and commit ourselves to the support of the communities, especially the migrant workers who have lost their livelihood, as well as the authorities who are fighting tirelessly against the spread of coronavirus. SRF Foundation, the corporate social responsibility arm of SRF Limited, is working to provide emergency response through the distribution of family essential kits for frontline workers, and hospital support material. Additionally, the team of SRF Foundation is working with its partners to support the education and learning needs of children across our intervention schools by bridging the digital divide through innovative methods. In conclusion, we are confident of our growth potential and business opportunities that each of our segments exhibit. As the domestic and international operating environment improves gradually, we are optimistic of a healthy performance. We believe that this is possible due to our investments in world-class infrastructure, competent resources, superior R&D capabilities, and a strong adherence to safety protocols, which is the cornerstone of our sustainability endeavors. We are also confident of creating sustained value for all our stakeholders as we progressively step into FY21. On that note, I conclude my remarks and would be open to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have. I would now like to ask the moderator to open the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Certainly, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your phone and await your turn to ask the question and then guided by the facilitator. If your question has been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. We have a question from Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rahulji. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome, Sanjay.
Yeah, quick questions, a couple of them. First, on the chemical segment, congrats on a very, very strong set of specialty. I guess, again, we have easily surpassed our guidance. But on the margin front, that doesn't look like. So there is a margin contraction of 170 bips YOY. What has went wrong? Was the refrigerant gas prices steeper? Is that the hurting margin for the chemical business as a whole?
You said there was a margin contraction YOY.
Right, YOY in the chemical business. Whereas our mix looks like it has improved more towards specialty chemical, right? Which we have a higher margin versus refrigerant gas, correct?
Again, you are comparing corresponding period last year to current year. Roughly about 1.8% is the margin contraction that you are talking about quarter-on-quarter.
Correct.
Yes. Again, I have said this not once, many times, that this is not a business to be looked on a quarter-on-quarter basis. You should look at the year's margins. Look at the margin for FY 2019 versus FY 2020. You will still see roughly about 150 basis points of expansion in margin.
Correct.
My sense is that from about 16%, it is up to about 17.5%. I would really look at it from a year as a whole perspective rather than looking at it on a quarter-on-quarter perspective. Secondly, yes, there has been some really nice work that has happened in the specialty chemicals business. We have been fairly confident in telling you that we will grow about 50%. 40%-50% is what we had initially said. Again, as I said, and as you would have heard on the call, the growth is far beyond that.
Correct.
This is also despite the fact that for April 2020, 2019, there was a negative month because of the closure that happened at the end of last year. Also, there was some impact of COVID that I'd explained to you. To that extent, I would say there is some contraction that has happened, but I'm not really worried about the quarter-on-quarter margin contraction that you are looking at. I am really looking at this business from a year as a whole perspective, and to that extent, happier to see the fact that there is margin expansion that has happened. Also, the fact is that for chemicals business, the new HFC plants have recently been commercialized or utilized. Because of COVID-19, there is, let's say, the operating leverage on those plants that are still to play out. Those are kind of the reasons.
Fair point, sir. Just one confirmation. We haven't talked about our guidance for chemical business in FY 2021, right?
I don't give you guidance on chemical business overall. Yes, this is something that we do on an annualized basis. For the specialty chemicals business, my sense is that our growth, depending upon how COVID plays out, should be in the range of, say, about 20%-25%. Let's say to be on the safer side.
That's fair. Even these are healthy numbers given the conditions we are. Respect for that, sir.
I understand. A 40%-50% number on a continuous basis is not possible because of the fact that now you are working with a 1,600 crore revenue. Even a 25% number is a 400 crore increase, not a small job to do.
Yeah. The absolute addition remains still healthy. I take that point.
Yeah.
On the refrigerant gas side, I thought that the China shutdown in the quarter four, where we were still operating, there was a room for us to benefit from that, and it looks like it hasn't come in. Was the demand weaker than what we were estimating? What are the reasons for pricing correction there, given that there could have been a substantial pressure on the supply side as well? Just wanted to understand that.
Not an India play in terms of the overall pricing. I think it is an international play on the overall pricing.
Yeah, international play. Correct.
Because of the fact that China was looking to sell a lot of product, which they were unable to. There were pricing corrections that were happening in it. To a certain extent, I would also say that some of these prices were slightly on the higher side earlier as well. To that extent, they're now moderated up. Even the current position on the prices, I think we are in a fairly good position to be a substantive player, not just in the Indian market, but in an international market as well, because of the fact that our cost competence is very significant in the business. As I said, fact is that we are a player that has complete backward integration. Probably that would leave us in a good position in the international market as well, Sanjesh.
Got it, sir. Just one clarification here. Our earlier guidance that we will consume this HFC capacity probably over the next three years still stands true, right?
I would still expect that to happen. Three years is still a very large timeframe. I would really expect this to be faster.
Okay. That's good news. Last question on the packaging film.
Sanjesh, you will have to come back in line. Other people will say there is no more question left.
Thank you very much, sir, and best wishes for you.
Thank you. I would request participants to restrict the number of questions to two at a time. We have a question from Mr. Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Congratulations. I had two questions. You have been investing in capacity significantly, and that has kept your return on capital employed a bit depressed. So is this phase of CapEx going to, and the pace of CapEx going to continue, or you'll be able to make better return on capital employed? That's question number one. And question number two is there any guidance that you will give on debt levels too, in terms of how it's going to look like in 21 and 22? Thank you.
Okay, let me answer both your questions. The first question that you asked is about the operating leverage, or let's say the return on capital employed. Now, yes, you are right that we've been investing very heavily in CapEx, but the return on capital employed does come over a period of time. If you look at the return on capital employed at any point in time, it really does take into account those CapExes that have recently been commissioned or are likely to be commissioned in the future. To that extent, I would really look at the denominator on a T-1 or a T-2 basis, which would give you a pretty healthy return on capital employed. From a CapEx perspective, there are certain CapEx plans that have already been announced. Those we are still going ahead with. There is the PTFE plant that is going on in the chemicals business. We had recently announced 230 crores of CapEx on the specialty chemicals business. There were certain other spillover CapExes from last year that are still continuing. Our sense is that roughly about 700 to 800 crores of CapEx spent in FY21 is reasonable. There could be another 100 crores of CapEx that we are not budgeting today. Plus, whatever is going on in the BOPP in Thailand, in BOPET in Thailand and in Hungary, aggregates to in the range of about 1,200-1,300 crores. So that's our CapEx guidance for FY21. Obviously, we will be frugal about it depending upon how the cash flow situation pans out. We will certainly look at seeing whether there can be certain things that we can do better in terms of managing the CapEx. But on an overall position, we are not looking to, let's say, curtail our existing CapExes because they provide us the growth for the future. The second question that you asked is whether there will be debt reduction in the future. Given our current estimates, we believe anywhere between 200 to 300 crores is a likely debt reduction in the future, given our current numbers that we are looking at. But all of these depend on what CapExes we are doing, how much EBITDA we are generating, what is the impact of COVID, and all of those things. I would really not worry too much on debt because my operating leverage ratios, as well as my debt to net worth, cash to net worth, all of those ratios are in pretty good shape. So while I am looking that there will be some reduction of debt, I am not very worried about it.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Mr. Vihang Subramanian from Samsung Asset Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, when I look at the packaging films business margins, like on a full year basis, it's jumped from like almost 15 to like 21%. So just wanted to know, like, how does like the crude oil price movement, like, has it played like any beneficial role, or like how does it sort of affect the margins in packaging, and if it has any impact in other segments as well, if you could just clarify that.
There is always an impact on the packaging film business and on the technical textile business of the way crude oil plays. The crude oil drop in prices typically leads to lower revenues. However, the let's say the final margin or the final profitability or the EBIT does not depend on crude prices. It's a function of the conversion margin and the conversion price that I am getting for my key raw materials. So to that extent, you would see that overall, my revenues from packaging film business are kind of subdued or flat for the quarter as well as for the year. However, my margins are higher. Essentially, this is the reason. The margins are actually a demand and supply play, plus what you can do from a value-added product perspective, how much of an additional margin you can generate. Those are key plays there. Also, on the technical textile business, the price of lactam does have an impact, and in the opening statement I had given the rundown of that. There was a negative impact on of inventory valuation on the technical textiles business. We believe it was in the range of about 3 to 4 crores. However, you've seen that between March to now also, crude oil prices went down very significantly, then have gone up. So there may be a slightly, let's say, lagged impact of inventory valuation that may come through in the technical textiles business.
Okay, okay, got it, sir. And just my second question is, you mentioned on the HFC side where we are expanding that you kind of still expect to see the ramp up to full utilization in like 2 years. But just wanted your sense on like how do you not see any impact there given like, you know, what is happening with auto and how like generally like the industrial segment is like, you know, kind of seeing muted demand. So do you not see any impact there?
No, I am not saying that there is no impact on this. There will be an impact of the auto. There will be an impact on because of the white goods industry. But we are also fairly cognizant of the fact that a lot of the white goods are today moving from, let's say, standard R22 to R32 and the other blends of the refrigerant gases. We are in a unique position because of that, and therefore we believe we have a unique advantage there. And therefore, our capacity utilizations can be much higher, relatively. I am not at all saying that there won't be an impact of the industrial thing or the industrial activity. What I am also saying is that the replacement demand also kicks in because, you know, let's say the OEMs are not producing much or let's say the sales are lower. To that extent, India is still a hot country, and therefore the replacement demand kicks in. Those are our assumptions. Hopefully, we should be doing better. The third thing also is the fact that there is a large export potential to various other countries. Some of it we have taken through, and we believe there is a larger potential on the export side, which we will be able to meet.
So just one thing on the refrigerants bit, like the 1300 crores or whatever, 1400 crores of revenue that you are currently doing, would you be able to give us any exposure in terms of how much is auto and white goods?
No, that's not possible because there are various blendings happening and other things. So between
okay,
auto and what I can tell you is 134A is all auto. And others are all blended, so not really able to give you that.
Okay, sir, and just the last quick one from my side is, just on the technical textile business, how do we sort of look at this segment now in terms of growth, given that, you know, your main focus is chemicals and packaging? So just in terms of growth, how do we sort of look at it over, like, the next couple of years?
See, again, we are committed to do certain capexes in the business. We have committed to keep serving our customers. While there may not be a large amount of capex that is going into the business for committing new growth, we believe 3,500 tons per month to 4,000 tons per month is pretty much doable. And to that extent, we will keep growing the business in that sense. But there won't be a jump of growth in the technical textiles business. It will be a stable business for the pretty much for our future, in our perspective.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Taran Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. So just a couple of questions. The first one, on the spec chem business, how's the board, you know, looking at it from a 4 to 5 year horizon? Considering, you know, the entire China to India shift that we've been hearing about. And are there any capex plans in the medium term for this business?
I didn't get your question. Could you repeat, please?
So on the spec chem business, how's the management looking at it from a 4 to 5 year horizon? And are there any capex plans in the medium term?
So again, as I said, there are current capex plans. We are expanding a lot of capacities. Even in the February board meeting, we had announced the 250 crore capex to be incurred in the next 12 months or so, which adds new products. The idea is to keep the packaging, the pipeline full. The idea is to keep innovating new products in R&D in our various labs. And therefore, we believe that the specialty chemicals business is the growth driver for the company going forward. Over the next 3 to 4 years as well, we believe there will be a positive traction in the specialty chemicals business.
Okay. So what is your blended cost of debt, and how has it changed from FY19 to FY20?
Again, when I look at my blended cost of debt, overall, I would say it is in the range of about 3.5% to 3.75% on a globalized basis. Probably about a 75 to 100 basis points change between the 2 years.
Okay. And so in your packaging films business, what is the share of value-added products in the 2,600 odd growth in FY20, and how has that moved from FY19?
The growth in value-added products during the year is in the range of about 20-22%. The overall share, again, I'll have to dwell into what is a value-added product and all of that. Maybe we can do that offline.
Okay. And so the last question, the recently commissioned BOPET line in Thailand is on top of an already existing 30,000 tons line, right?
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Mr. Tejas Sheth from Nippon India. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Rahul. Congrats on good set of numbers in specialty chemicals. On the specialty chemicals only, are we seeing any inquiries or something commissioning on the pharma side with this whole COVID thing issue coming up? I mean, there's a lot of pharma demand picking up globally. Are we seeing there any
There are various inquiries that are there on the table as of now, Tejas. But how long will it take for them to fructify is a wild guess today. I can't tell you in the 3 month time frame we will be able to do something about it. So there are a lot of inquiries, yes. But whether they will fructify in a 3 month or a 6 month or a year's time frame, difficult to predict.
Okay. On the refrigerant side, we have kind of we would have clearly missed the domestic season. With our increased capacity, and can we cover up the balance part of your sales for the missed domestic season?
The next domestic season only kicks in Q4 next year.
So that's what I'm saying. So we have missed domestic season, right? Now, the export side of the season is still yet to play out, and we have increased capacities, right? So can we cover up the domestic season loss from exports is what my question is.
It won't be for 100%, but yes, we will be able to cover some.
Okay. And lastly, on packaging films, both the plants which are getting commissioning this year, are there any delayed on the ramp-up side, or the inquiries for the volume remains strong?
No, the inquiries are very, very strong. The BOPET film line in Thailand has already been commissioned. Hungary is due in July sometime. And therefore, and again, the product inquiries are pretty strong. The only thing is Europe takes more time to ramp up because of the product approvals and all of those things. We are fairly confident that we'll be able to do this.
And the per tonnage spread remained healthy even in Q1?
April may have been pretty much all right. I can't give you any further details than that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Neha Talreja from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just wanted to check with you, what has been the EBITDA number for us for specialty chemical business and packaging?
Specialty, we don't share it specifically on.
For chemicals as a whole?
Ma'am, that's a math number. You please go ahead and do this. It's available in the balance sheet.
Sure. Done. Thanks.
Thank you. We have a question from Surya Patra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for this opportunity and congrats for the good set of numbers, sir, on the specialty chemical side. Just on the manufacturing opportunity, which is looking robust, given the or in the post-COVID scenario. Do you see really any manufacturing, any diversification of manufacturing opportunity from the current fluorochemicals to some other area? Or whether you are also seeing any kind of incremental manufacturing opportunity in your existing lines of business because of the China factor. Now people are preferring ex-China kind of products of supply chain. So on that front, anything that you can update, sir?
Surya, to be very frank about it, if you want to talk about a single product, single inquiry, diversification of my production facilities, whether I am able to produce PPE kits or something of that sort, or sanitizers, no such intent.
No. I'm not talking about the sanitizer part.
I'm just completing the answer. Just give me a minute. The second thing that you asked about is China. I think that's very relevant. And to that extent, we believe that there is an opportunity that a lot of our customers who are looking to diversify their let's say requirements from out of China. I think that's a huge opportunity that presents itself. We are in a good position to be able to leverage that opportunity. Our facilities are in good position. We have now CGMP facilities available to cater to pharma needs. And I think that's something that we are also looking forward to. That's essentially the answer to your question. If you are asking about a specific product, I don't have that information.
No, that's fine, sir. But and I was just trying to understand whether you can go beyond fluorochemicals in terms of manufacturing opportunity that is visible in the post-COVID scenario.
I told you last time as well that it is not just fluorochemicals that is important. It is different. It is the chemistry that is something that we are looking at. More difficult the chemistry, we are happier to do it. Fluorochemicals are not only the ones that we are looking at. Not that we are saying that fluoro is a specialty that we have, but we have the ability to diversify into others as well.
Okay, fine, sir. And my second question was on
Mr. Patra.
Second question was on the split between the specialty business and the refrigerant. What would be the split for the current full year, sir, since it is the year-ending performance? And also, given the kind of a geographic penetration and all for the refrigerant gas business, what growth outlook that you are, if you are guiding anything on that?
The first question is, what is the split between
specialty and the refrigerant gas?
Specialty and refrigerant gases. There is no such split available. There is fluorochemicals business and the specialty chemicals business. I told you during the year, roughly about 1,650 crores was my specialty revenue, balance is fluorochemicals. I am not breaking that up into refrigerant gases, chloromethanes, blends and others. So that's not happening.
Okay, fine, sir.
That's one. What's your second question?
Second question was on the refrigerant gas front, given the kind of expansion and the blends, all that blends initiative that we have taken, and also the geographic penetration that we are seeing for ourselves, and there is a kind of a China play also that is there on that front. So given all these factors, can you share some outlook on the refrigerant gas business front, sir, for next year or next 3 years or something like that?
See, again, within the next 2 years, all the additional capacities that we are putting up, we are wanting to have them fully utilized and appropriately, obviously the operating margin and all of the other things of this fluorochemicals business should play out positively. Whether that happens in the next 18 months, 24 months or 30 months, I really am unable to say this. Yes, there is a positive that is emanating out of the duty structures and all of those things in the U.S. We are fairly well positioned to be able to take advantage of that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Patra. We have a question from Resham Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have just two questions. So first is, on the EBIT margin, you had improved 150 basis points this year. But when we look at your historical margin performance, it has been quite healthy and very good. So should one expect that, based on your comments on operating leverage coming into play in refrigerant as well, and more brownfield expansion happening on specialty chemical side, the margin should move up further from the current level?
Resham, I think that's a reasonable expectation to have.
Okay. But is it fair to assume that what you used to do, let's say, 3 years back, is that something which you can strive for in the next 2-3 years?
Pepsi ka ad suna hai tumne, dil mange more. So, they hamesha hi rehta hai. So, you will always have a position where you want more. But again, let's be reasonable. 3 years... 3 years ago, our specialty chemical revenues were about 500 crores.
Yeah.
Right? So, and today we are talking about a 1650 crore revenue and talking about a 20-25% growth. So, at a 2000 crore revenue, similar, let's say, EBIT margins or EBITDA margins are pretty much wild. Endeavor is always to get to higher numbers, but even 100 basis points expansion is very, very decent.
Okay. And sir, my second question is that in the specialty chemical, our medium-term outlook is very good. And given that our current site in Dahej has seen a lot of expansion over the last many years, do you expect that we have to go for the new greenfield location in the next year or so to expand beyond FY21?
No. For the next year or two, I think we have enough land available. Even in the last year, I think there was some land that we had bought in adjacent to our Dahej site. So to that extent, I think for the next 2 to 3 years, we have enough land to be able to expand our footprint at the existing site. But in a 5 years time, probably yes, we will have to think about something.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Niket from MOAMC Mumbai. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I just had one question. If you can just give us some sense on what kind of imports do we have from China as far as our chemicals business is concerned, and do we have any thought process to increase our backward integration as a proportion of our revenues?
So we would have some imports from China in our specialty chemical business. But again, if you look at our overall imports, I don't think it's a very substantial number. Whatever were being risked, we have been able to de-risk them, so we are in good position. As of now, there is no specific thought of backward integrating anything. In fact, in many situations, we are looking to see if some of the processes can be managed outside our plant, and we end up doing, let's say, slightly higher end or more technical processes. So that's the way we are looking at it, Niket.
Sure. And I was just kind of understanding how does a customer think about it, because when he wants to de-risk from China to India, and essentially if we are not largely backward integrated, does the customer think that essentially still going to depend on China in some format or the other, because even your raw material is essentially going to come from China, right?
No. So, again, let's look at it. What is the key raw material for my chemicals business? The key raw material is fluorspar. I have told you that we have completely been able to de-risk from China. If I don't get 1 gram of fluorspar from China, I am able to source it from across the world. So I have no problems with that. There are other raw materials that I procure from China, but as I said in my previous remark, we've been able to de-risk that completely, so that's also not a challenge.
Perfect, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you and best of luck, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Abhijit Akela from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, Rahulji. Congrats on a good year and thanks for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. One was on the packaging films business. You talked about some, you know, new capacities coming up during FY21. So if it's possible to just put some color around, you know, how many new lines or how much capacity is coming up and how large those are relative to the world markets, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Abhijit, roughly about four or five lines scheduled in the next 3 to 5 quarters. At least one has been commissioned by us, one more being commissioned by us. There's one in Pakistan. There are a couple of other lines in Poland and some other jurisdictions. But more or less four or five lines.
And in terms of, what kind of increment to world capacity this would be in terms of percentage terms?
Roughly about 38 to 40,000 tons per line. So multiply that by 5, 200,000 tons. World capacity, right. Say less than 5%.
Right. And this is all in BOPET only?
Yeah, I am talking BOPET only.
Okay. And BOPP, you're not seeing such pressure?
No, BOPP still started to do better, but no major new lines coming as of now.
Okay, great. And second, just on refrigerants, is it possible to just share the total volumes we've done, sir, in FY20?
I think the capacity utilizations for refrigerant has been in the range of 70-75%. Because volumes are a function of what kind of sales you are making, whether they are in tonnages or in tankers or in small cans. So all of those are different to each, and therefore it's not fair to be able to give you actual production of each of those. Roughly, let's say about 70-75% of all our HFC capacities have been utilized.
Okay, and this is including the new capacities that we have just commissioned?
But including the new capacities on a prorated basis.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Mr. Rohit Sinha from MK Global, Mumbai. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Most of the questions are already answered. Just a quick thing on Argus. Since we have added new capacity, what would be the overall new incremental employees addition in that business?
Employee addition you are talking about, Rohit?
Yeah.
I would not know. Yeah. If you come on offline.
On increments.
As a total, I think we added about 300 employees on an overall basis. But okay. I have not looked at it. I will have to revert to you.
Oh, okay. No issues, sir. No issues. And just looking at the your specialty chemical segment, as you mentioned that almost 1600 crore kind of revenue is there, and since most of almost I think 90-95% is export, what kind of opportunity in the specialty chemical we are seeing in the domestic market, given the Make in India thing or Atmanirbhar Bharat kind of initiatives?
We will have to check that out there. Domestically, again, the focus is exports. I think we continue to focus on exports because those are more innovative products and more with large agrochemical majors across the world. We will have to check out if there is more opportunity on the domestic side due to Make in India. I really don't believe so.
Okay. And just wanted to take on this tax rate. What would be our consolidated tax rate going forward, given that new...
27-28%. And when I am saying that, this is only on a standalone basis, because for global jurisdiction, tax rates are very low, or we are still in a tax holiday period. South Africa has some, but not very significant.
Okay. That's it for my side.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Mr. Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate, Mumbai. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Hi, Rahulji. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Hello?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, sir, one understanding, like, your employee cost for third quarter, sequentially I'm talking, had gone up by 7 crore and 10 crore for third quarter and fourth quarter. So this is primarily because of what reason?
Sequentially on third quarter.
7 crore.
Sir, I think it is because of the capitalization of new plants. Till the point we plants get capitalized, they would probably be going into pre-operative expenses, and post that it would go to P&L. I think because of capitalization, this would be the impact, but I will have to completely check out and come back to you.
Okay, so this is nothing to do with like the employee addition part, or this will also include that the employee addition part, because this is a very large number if I calculate the 300 employee part.
No, there would be. So I'm saying that largely I think that this is the normal thing. For an employee cost to increase, you will have to either add new employees, either give larger increments, or you will. The third is capitalization of costs, which are not being done because of the plant getting capitalized. I think the largest component of that will be because of plant getting capitalized.
Okay.
If I remember well, the HST plant got capitalized in September end of October. So to that extent, uska impact aaya.
Okay. And sir, now this newly commissioned HFC plant, what would be the utilization currently?
मैंने अभी बताया था अमर that on an annualized basis, my HFC capacities overall were utilized about 75%.
But I believe, sir, new capacity का utilization तो बहुत कम होगा, right?
वो prorated बोला तो था ना मैंने अमर कि अगर मेरे को October में मैंने कराया तो October to March तक की prorated capacity ली है मैंने.
Okay.
17,000 टन ऐड करा तो 17,000 टन अवेलेबल थोड़ी था प्रोड्यूस करने के लिए.
So basically, sir, what would be the mix between the replacement and the OE for RGAS? Hello?
OE will be about 40-45%. Balance will be 55%.
Okay.
55-60. So it keeps shifting in that sense. And when I'm talking OE, I'm only talking 134 and cars.
Okay. Got that.
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Mr. Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. Just one question on the refrigerant bit. So I think somewhere in the presentation you highlight that the refrigerant prices were soft, and that kind of was a problem in FY20. But do you think the same situation may get aggravated in FY21, especially on the auto refrigerants? Because auto and white goods both, because the sales, etc., in the first 3-4 months would have been weaker across the globe. So do you think the realizations for refrigerants could be a challenge while, operating leverage-led benefit will come in refrigerants? But could there be a gross margin problems in refrigerant which may sustain from the last year?
So Ritesh, they are at such levels that they can only go up from here.
Okay.
Even if
but you
are... I am okay because my operating leverage playout will be pretty much keeping me in good position. Even despite whatever the prices are, I am still making good money, right?
Okay. So basically, you're saying that pre-COVID, even in Feb or March, whatever your realization or EBITDA per ton was, has not seen any major decline in the recent months also. I mean, post, let's say, March also.
So, rather price to flattish hai. It is not because of the price that the issue has happened. I think it is more because of COVID, because of the overall economic slowdown and the overall impact of the current environment.
Correct. So, it should aggravate from the 4Q levels, right? Is what the right thing to say is, right? Then. From a gross margin perspective.
I said that in the remarks also.
Okay. And sir, just on the balance sheet side, you have seen a decent reduction in receivables, and I think inventories also have been pretty steady. And especially in exporters, your working capital has been one of the best, which I see across a lot of chemical exporters. So this is something which is sustainable and like you can further improve from here on, or is it like already operating at some of the best levels that you can operate?
I think the working capital is already operating at best levels. The point is that it is a function of price of the lactam and like a PTMEG and the chips as well. So given the fact that the prices have crashed. To that extent, it has shown in my inventory levels also. If the prices start rising, inventories will start to go up, and to that extent, my value of debtors and receivables and all of those things will also start to go up. So it's a
function of
these things.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of the days, you don't think anything can change, or it's just pretty much good, is what you're saying?
Point, Ritesh, is the fact that this is an environment that we are operating in. If my supply chain can leverage my ability to raise money at better rates, why not? So, to that extent, I am okay with some, deterioration in this if I can be on a stronger wicket.
Got it, sir. That's it, sir. Thank you so much, and congrats on good set of numbers.
Thank you, Ritesh.
Thank you, Mr. Gupta. Due to time constraints, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Jain for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions. If you have any further questions, I would be glad to be of assistance. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management, I once again thank you for taking the time to join us on this call. Thank you very much, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude your conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using iJunction Conference Service. You may please disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a great day.